You may be seated.
Woo. Bring this down. Good morning, church. It's great to be together this morning. I'm very excited to share with you this morning about God's vision for here, specifically in the New York and New Jersey campus ministry. You guys like campus ministry? You love campus ministry, whether you've been part of it or are part of it or are watching what God is doing through the campus ministry. You know, last Sunday was an incredible time together, wasn't it, with International Sunday? Let's give it up to everyone who danced and Adesina and just everybody that made that incredible. You know, I love the diverse family that God has built here in New Jersey. Don't you guys? We're so blessed to live in a part of the world that all nations flock to, so that we could have a church of all nations here in one place. And I love God's vision for His church to be a place of all nations. I read the passage in Revelation last week where we see God's vision of heaven being a place of people from every tribe, language, just people from everywhere. And I'm grateful for that. God wants people from every country, every city, every town, every village, every neighborhood, every college campus, high school, workplace, every family. God wants all people together with Him in heaven. And what's awesome is that God's plan is for us to have a part in His vision for that. Isn't that encouraging? But how are we going to do that? How can we bring together so many different people from so many different places in a unified way for all eternity, right? What is the common denominator with all of those people? And the common denominator with all people from every place is that they need Jesus. They want Jesus. Every person from every place is looking for Jesus. No, you can't see, you can't have a vision without light. Right? If you're in the darkness, you can't see anything, you can't have vision. We need Jesus. Every person is looking for the light of life. And this is what the Bible says that Jesus is in John chapter 1, verses 4 to 5 and in verse 9. It says that in Him, talking about Jesus, in Him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. And then down in verse 9, it says, the true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. That's exciting, isn't it? This passage is talking about Jesus. He is what every single person is looking for. As people are trying to figure out, what is life all about? What is my purpose in life? What am I here for? Who am I here for? Who gave me life? Who brought me here? This passage says that it's in Jesus that we find life. Life is in Jesus. And we're all living in darkness because of our sin. We've separated ourselves from God and entered into the darkness, and we want to be in the light. And it says here that Jesus is the light, not just of some people, but of all people. It says that He is the light of all mankind. And it says that the true light gives light to everyone in the world. Jesus is the life of the world. He is the light of the world. And we need to see Jesus as that, that Jesus is the light to this dark world. He is the answer to every problem, every pain, and every pursuit of every single person. What people are looking for is Jesus. It's inspiring when you think about His ministry. You know, there was not a single question Jesus couldn't answer. There was no task or question that was too hard for Him. No one could stump Him in His words. There was no storm that was too strong. There was not one sickness He couldn't heal. No one He couldn't relate to, inspire, love, or give purpose to. Jesus is the answer to a world crying out for help, for hope, for purpose. He is the light of the world, the life of all mankind, the light that overpowers the darkness. That's who Jesus is. And He said Himself, I am the light of the world. That's a big claim, isn't it? But Jesus is the light of the world. He was then, and He still is today, to all people, The world needs Jesus for here and for eternity. He gives light to our lives. What's awesome is that Jesus is the light, but when he comes and when he enters our lives, he gives light to us. So the light goes from just being part of him to being part of ourselves as well. You know, I love Disney Pixar, and I love... Have you guys seen Pixar movies? You know, do you guys like those little Pixar shorts that come before the movie? You know, they can turn anything into a tearjerker, you know? I mean, they personify anything. I mean, Toy Story, right? Personification of toys. And they personify things. And just try to imagine a personification of a candle, right? And this candle was made to shine. And it just goes all these years, all this time, sitting on a candle holder in a dark room, never giving light. And you can imagine Pixar doing a good job with this, just the depression of this candle, trying to figure out, what am I here for? As other things in the room are figuring out their purpose and finding joy. And then you imagine Jesus coming into the room, and he's got the match. And he comes in and he lights the match and he lights the candle. And now Jesus goes from the bringer of light to making this candle be the light as well. Could you imagine a Disney short like that? You know, but that's what Jesus does for us. We're all unlit candles, and then Jesus comes into our life. He is the light, and then he makes us the light as well. In Matthew 5:14, it says, "You are the light of the world." So Jesus says, "I am the light of the world." And then to his disciples, he says, "You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." You know, Jesus is the light. He makes us the light. And then he's calling us to go and light others as well. Isn't that encouraging? We get to have that purpose of bringing life and light to other people in darkness. We were all in the darkness at one point. And then he came and he died for us. He forgave us. And then he called us into his wonderful light, where he put his spirit in us, which is the fullness of Christ, the light of the world. And then he called us to go and bring that light to others. You know, it's crazy to think about just the depth of what it says in Ephesians chapter 5. In Ephesians chapter 5, it doesn't say you were in dark. It says you were darkness. Isn't that intense? Jesus is like, look, you weren't just in the darkness. You were darkness. Because of your sin, your depravity, your humanity, you were darkness. But on the complete opposite end of the spectrum of that, Jesus comes and says, well, in me you can find life. And I will actually not just bring you into the light, but you will become the light of the world. So we go from being identified as I am darkness to being able to be identified as I am light, because Jesus is the light and he is living within us. You know, what's encouraging here is Jesus didn't say, hey, you're a disciple, you should be a light. Hey, you're following me, you're supposed to be a light to people. Jesus doesn't say you're supposed to, you could be, you should be. Jesus says, look, you are the light of the world. It's an identity of every disciple for us to grab onto, whether we feel like it or not, and whether we're embracing it or not. Jesus looks at you, he looks at the room that you're in this life, and he says, look, you are the light to this world. You are the light in this room because I am inside of you. Jesus is the light, he is in us, and that makes us the light. Nothing of ourselves, but because Jesus lives in us, we are the light as well. Isn't that encouraging? Now here's the thing. Is we need to work together on this being a light to the world. I can't be a light to the world by myself. Neither can any of you be a light to the world by yourselves. One man can't get the job done. You know, I don't know about you guys, but how many of you get a little creeped out walking through your house when it's dark late at night? I mean, you feel that? You already shut everything down. You went to bed and you got to go get something out in the kitchen. Or you got to go and it's like, all right, I got to get the lights on. You know, especially for me coming back up from the basement late at night. I tend to run up the stairs. I mean, this is especially true when you're younger. And I really appreciated, you know, growing up, my dad is a contractor and he built the house that I grew up in. And my dad designed the house to work in such a way that every light switch came before the area that it lit up. So to get from my bedroom to the living room, I had to go through the hallway, the kitchen, and then into the living room. But right outside of my bedroom door was a light for the hallway. At the end of the hallway was a light for the kitchen. And then right at the entrance to the kitchen was a light for the living room. So I didn't have to walk in any darkness because each light along the way shined its path. Now, if I just turned on the light in my bedroom, I'd be just as scared going out to the living room because the light in my bedroom's not doing the job for the living room. Does that make sense? You know, but what's great is it's designed, hey, to get to each part of the area of darkness, there's a light to shine for that part. And what's great is Jesus singularly is the light of the world. But residing in us, his church plurally is the light of the world. So Jesus on his own is the light. Us on our own are not the light. But us together, you, plural, you together are the light of the world. And each one of you gets to light a different part of this world and be a light to a different part of this world. Does that make sense? We work together on this. We need every light on to fill God's house. We're each a piece of the body of Christ. And we will only complete this task of being a light to the world when each part works together and does its work, as Ephesians 4 says. You know, this is what special missions is all about. Each part doing its work. And you know, we're blessed financially here, so we give to support those in other places who are not, so that they could be a light to people there. You know, it's hard. We can't be a light to countries that we're not living in, right? But we could support them to be a light there. And that's what special missions is about. It's like paying the Africa and Caribbean spiritual electric bill, right? It's helping support them so that they could be a light where they're at. Does that make sense? Each part doing its work to fulfill Jesus' heart to be a light to the world. You know, there's a place for every part to shine. And I so appreciate how God has called our New Jersey campus ministry to be the light to the New Jersey college campuses. Right, that's our part right there. God's saying, you guys are a light to the world together. And hey, this part of it, the college students, you guys get to be a light to the part of the world that is the New Jersey college campuses. You know, I think God has been really lifting up our New Jersey campus ministry as a light in a really, honestly, cool way. I mean, God's just kind of been lifting up a lot of disciples saying, hey, you know what? I'm making it clear here. You are the light to this area. Let me show you guys what I mean. The first one I don't have a picture for because we didn't save it. But in 2011, there's this website called College Fashionistas. And there's photographers who work for them who travel across all the college campuses in New Jersey seeking men and women who have great fashion sense. They take a picture of them and they've got this website representing all the schools. And they post one person a month from all the colleges across the country to be the fashionista of the month. In 2011... my would-be wife was the fashionista of the month for College Fashionistas. She was up there on the website. I went and emailed them last week, like, hey, do you still got that article? Because I couldn't find it. But, you know, I went on to marry the College Fashionista of the month. Chelsea was representing there as the light to Montclair State University. Not even a student there. We move forward. At William Patterson University, Chelsea and Desiree are out sharing their faith. The school takes a picture of them and puts it right there on their homepage, Chelsea and Desiree, and says, these are your next friends for life. And if you don't meet them, they're going to meet you. You know, and they took this picture and they've used it on the website. They've used it on orientation flyers, handouts still to this day, all the way back from 2011. Next, we've got Buki as a student at NJIT. She's over at NJIT. They snap her picture, throw it on this billboard. And they say, hey, come be a part of this moment. And I think there was some spiritual representation behind that there. Buki, being a light at NJIT, not NJIT, Rutgers Newark, and part of UMDNJ over at Rutgers. I got it right there. She's being a light over there. And then graduation at Montclair 2014. You go on the website, Genesis, right there, representing Montclair State University. This is right at the top of the website there when you go to Montclair University back last year. That was so cool to see Genesis representing the school there. And then last summer, we're over doing Bible talks at Rutgers Newark, and they have an official Instagram page. After a Bible talk, we're playing Uno, and they come by and they're like, can we get a picture of you guys? This is awesome, this group of friends here. They snap us. They put us up on the Rutgers Instagram page. Soon after that is the Bergen County College graduation. This is just back a week ago. And they select a handful of Bergen graduates to speak at the graduation on the screen down in the MetLife Stadium here. And our very own Daniela was chosen. And she's up on the screen speaking about the campus ministry, about God, about her family representing Jesus there. Last year, if Genesis wasn't enough, you go to the website this year, Genesis pictures were placed, and you've got Shauna and Andrea from our campus ministry now on the Montclair University website. And then you go, you know what, I want to get further info about the commencement at MSU, so I'll click that link there. And they've got a picture again of Shauna and Andrea in part of their majors group right there. It's hard to tell in this picture, but Shauna and Andrea right there on the website. NorthJersey.com. Making an article about Bergen graduation. Like, you know what, this is a studly guy right here. And this is a young, beautiful woman. Charles and Daniela walking out together. They snap their picture, boom, right there on NorthJersey.com, representing, it even says both of their names down there and where they're from. Representing Bergen County College on NorthJersey.com. And last one I have to share is Falake and Simone Richardson at Bergen County College. They take their picture wearing our New Jersey campus t-shirts and throw it right there up on the homepage. You go to the website, there it is. You know, come here, meet us. Isn't this awesome? It keeps blowing my mind. I'm like, I can't believe that God just keeps doing this. You know, what does this tell me? It tells me that God has chosen his disciples to represent the people here. He's saying, look, you're the ambassador. You're the light. You're the part of my body that I have lit and made a light to be part of the people shining to this lost world here on these college campuses. You know, and even for the people that weren't chosen for the specific picture, we were all chosen as a disciple to represent God where he's put us. Does that make sense? You know, our New Jersey campus ministry has grown a lot and God is doing great things here. And God is calling us to be a light to 191,000 college students on 24 different colleges in North New Jersey. God's saying, look, this group right here, I'm lighting you guys to go be a light to all of these people. And this is our calling, our responsibility, our joy to go and to share what we've been given to these people as well. And you know, we've got a much bigger campus ministry we're part of, the New York campus ministry. You've got the New York City here, Manhattan, Bronx, Queens, Brooklyn, and Staten Island. And there's so many college students here. And we really do have a lot of needs to be filled in this area. You know, we have full-time couple leading in Brooklyn, Ashton and Leslie are leading in the Brooklyn. But we do not have full-time campus leading in Bronx, Queens, or Staten Island. And up until recently, we didn't in Manhattan. But we're able to hire a couple that's coming to lead Manhattan moving here next week. And that's none other than Daniel and Corinne Kennard coming over from San Diego to lead the Manhattan campus ministry. Super encouraging. You've got Long Island. In New York City right there is 650,000 college students. You throw in Long Island, 251,000. Westchester, 60,000. Hudson Valley, 34,000. Plus the 191,000 in North Jersey. Our New York campus ministry has a lot of people to reach. This is over a million people to reach out to here. You add in upstate New York, and there's pockets of colleges all over upstate New York in Rochester, Buffalo, Albany, Syracuse. Every one of these stars is an hour to an hour and a half away from each other. And within every single one of them is dozens, if not over 100,000 college students. You know, in all of upstate New York is 683,000 college students. You add that together with New York City, North Jersey, and our Poconos area, we're looking at just about 2 million college students in our area of the world that God is calling our campus ministry to be a light to. It's incredible, the mission that he's given us. I think it's inspiring and it's exciting as we look forward to sending full-time people there. Most of these places don't have churches yet, and the ones that do, a lot of them don't have full-time staff yet leading their campus ministry. So this is part of what we're trying to accomplish as we move forward to these places and then start to work our way down into the Caribbean. You know, we got some people from the Caribbean in here. You know, this is where we're going next and where God wants to help us to reach is to start sending people down to the Caribbean for short-term and long-term missions to reach the college campuses of the Caribbean. This is what the New York School of Missions is all about. You know, this is a recent picture from last week at our MTA camp of the School of Missions. We've got 18 campus interns being trained to be sent into New York City, into the surrounding New York area, upstate New York, and into the Caribbean to go reach those 2 million college students in those areas. You know, we've got some of our very own here in the internship. We've got Matt, Charles, Mark, Brielle, and Carrie serving as interns here. And I want to share with you that we have a few new interns hopping in this summer. And our three new interns are Elna, Simone, and Nina Farley. All right, so those three women are joining our internship here. So these are the people being raised up to go help lead the way in being a light to all these areas. You know, God has given us a great mission and a great calling to reach all these people in the New York and New Jersey campus ministries. And I thank you for giving special missions to support the School of Missions, to support interns, to support the Caribbean and these churches there. And I ask that you would just pray wholeheartedly for God to raise up people to send to all of these places. You know, one of my favorite songs is Men Who Dream. And there's a line in there, there's a God who shares our dream. And I think we really need to start thinking of that in that way, but also in the reverse. Hey, God's got a dream, and He's calling us to share in it. And God's dream is for all people from all places to be in heaven with Him. And He's made every single one of us a light to this world as we work together. And we've got to recognize, hey, where has He sent me to be an ambassador? Where every single disciple is in the full-time ministry of reconciliation. Every disciple is a full-time light, a full-time ambassador, chosen to represent Him to this lost world. And He's chosen the college students to be a light to all the 2 million people on these college campuses. And He's chosen you to be a light to the area that He sent you to and put you in. You know, across North New Jersey is over 4 million people. That's more than double all the college students in North Jersey, New York City, upstate, and all that put together. There's an incredible mission field of lost souls in darkness waiting for you to come be a light to them there. And many of you are being a light to the people there. Jesus is saying, look, you are the light to Sussex County, to Morris County, to Essex County. Wherever you live, whatever town you're in, Jesus wants you to embody, hey, I am the light to this place. You know, so as the campus ministry is really grabbing hold of Jesus' calling to be a light there, I want to encourage you guys to keep answering Jesus' call as you have been, to be a light to the town, the workplace, the family, the friends He's put you in. Amen? You know, so Jesus' calling is for us to be a light to this world and to bring the light to this world. So as we leave here today, I want to encourage you to keep praying for campus, but recognize, where is God calling me to be a light? And to keep being a light to there as well. Amen? Amen. Thank you, guys.
Amen, amen. I appreciate Rob Novak and the campus ministry. I can confidently say I love that man right there. That is an awesome brother. Rob is a man of great vision, and I really admire him for that as he looks at the upstate campuses and the colleges in New York. But more than that, I appreciate our partnership. I appreciate having him in New Jersey, and I appreciate the unity of the New Jersey staff. You know, but it's really fun for Manami and I to have peers with Rob and Chelsea. We both got babies. We're in the same stage of life together. And God has just really blessed us with friends in the Novaks. But, you know, the teens really benefit from having role models and mentors in the campus ministry. And, in fact, on Friday night, we had a great sports night in Anderson Park in Montclair. Matt and Charles did a fantastic job organizing sports. We had ice cream. And God is really doing great things in the youth and family ministry. And so today I want to remind us, why do we even call it youth and family, right? Are we ever confused about that? That's kind of a long title. We used to call it the teen ministry. Now we call it the youth and family ministry. And I want to give you guys a vision of the youth and family ministry. We used to call it the teen ministry. And then we realized, well, these kids, they don't just show up out of nowhere, right? They're not just dropped by a stork. That's not how it happens, right? They've got a family, and we've got to not just consider the teen, but also the family that they come from. We got to realize that family dynamics is a big part of our ministry, and we got to work with not just the teen, but also with their whole entire family. And we see many of our teens here in New Jersey and throughout the church make decisions to follow Jesus. It encourages me and inspires me, because even at a young age, people can choose to follow Jesus. And part of what's helping that happen is that we have amazing volunteer youth workers. We got amazing volunteer youth workers like the Hugheses, we got like Servianos, Ms. Marilyn, Christian Pisco, many, many people who dedicate their time and their effort to serving the youth and family ministry. We've also got mentoring that's been mutually beneficial to the mentors and the mentees, right? We're utilizing, like Rob talked about, every part doing its work. And people, you guys, we cast that vision to you back at Montclair State. And Larry and I talked to you guys. And you guys really took that up. And people are connecting with our teens and providing cross-generational connections. We've also got, we're more inclusive of parents. That's what youth and family ministry is. It's not just the teens, but parents, this is your ministry too. And you get to be a part of it with your kids as they're growing up, and that's exciting. We're seeing parents embracing the role of Deuteronomy 6. We're seeing them share their testimonies. Tell your kids, this is why I chose to follow Jesus. This is who mommy was before she was a Christian. This is who daddy was before he was a Christian, right? That's kind of scary to tell our kids some of that, right? But, you know, we see parents hosting events. We see parents planning activities, and through midweeks, devotionals, activities, we're building relationships and learning about God. This is the vision of the youth and family ministry. And also, one more big thing, we have teen camp and preteen, young teen camp. And that's a part of our vision, is a week where we get away from electronics, we get away from TV, we get away from the internet, and we get into God's Word. It's a time where we get to focus on God. This year, our theme is the race, talking about, you know, the race, this race of life, and ultimately getting to heaven. And I want to encourage you parents. I know Larry may have shared this at a different point to some of the parents at Solid Rock, but I had no interest when I was a teen of becoming a Christian. I thought, this is stupid. I don't want to be a part of the church. These people are kind of weird. I thought a lot of crazy things. And I thought, you know what, I don't want to do this. I'm going to get to college, and I'm going to just leave, right? And then I went to camp, and my heart was changed. And at camp, you know, we can't sell it short. Camp can really change our hearts, even the volunteers and the parents who go. And 2 weeks after camp, I was baptized. And that was in 2005, almost 11 years ago, proof that the camp hype doesn't have to wear off. Amen? You know, but our vision for the youth and family ministry is simple. Our vision is to build relationships. Build relationships and to give every teen the opportunity to know God and to study the Bible. Now, why do I say that? Why do I say the opportunity? Why the opportunity? Because we just want to give them the chance to hold out the Word of God to them. We can't control whether our kids get baptized or not. That is not within our control. We can't go to God in prayer about it. But we don't want to pressure our kids. We want to instead show them we're all ready at different times, right? Some of us got baptized when we were maybe in our 20s or in our 30s. Or in our 40s or 50s. And so instead, what we try to do is not say that, oh, the youth ministry is the only time, but we're trying to hold out the opportunity for them and show them who God is. We're trying to lay a foundation, showing Christianity in a very real way, in a practical way, and also showing them how being a disciple can be a fun thing. It doesn't have to be uncool. You can be sacrificial and serving and still be a cool person and have fun. Amen? Now, one of my visions is to see full-time youth ministry leadership in every region of the New York City Church of Christ. You know, we are really, it's been great. We had Damon and Michelle Curtis here. They raised Manami and I up, and now they're back in Texas. But we're lucky to have youth and family leadership full-time, but other regions in the church, they don't have that. Throughout the whole New York City church, we've got 11 regions, and we've only got 2 regions that actually have full-time youth ministry workers. We've got TJ Parisi in Westchester, and then we've got Manami and myself here in New Jersey. And that's it. Now, it's great. We've got incredible volunteers, but I have a vision to see more full-time, dedicated youth and family staff put on staff in the New York City Church. Now, what would this mean? This would mean that we'd have people, one man and one woman youth leader in every region, people who could be dedicated to help serve the families of the church. That would mean, if 11 regions, that would mean 22 people on staff just for youth and family ministry. Wouldn't that be amazing? And so far we got 3, so that means we have 19 more to go, all right? And so this summer we're adding the youth and family track to the New York School of Missions. Rob and I and Steve Kennard are working together, and we've got 12 participants. So please pray for us as we work to identify and raise up people that can serve in the full-time ministry to lead youth and family ministry. You know, one person homegrown right here from New Jersey is Desiree Douglas. She will be a full-time intern this summer working with the Youth and Family Ministry. She helped us out last summer as well, and that's a sister right there with a heart for our youth. Amen. But pray for us because we need this. We need this. And our giving next Sunday will help go to make this vision come true. We need this because honestly, right, our families, we got issues, right? Families got issues. I don't know any family that doesn't. Maybe your family is perfect, but my family, we have issues. And, you know, it's crazy because the first family in the Bible was jacked up. The very first brothers in the Bible, one killed the other one. That's the first family in the Bible. There was murder in that family. It makes us feel better, right, about our issues in our families. But our family's got issues. My family's got issues. Cain murdered his brother. But nowhere do we need more help than in our families. In our families, in our marriages. They say that we hurt the ones we love the most, right? And that's why we need help with our kids and with our family dynamics. And that's why it's such a victory when we see our kids choose to follow Jesus. I want to quickly look at a passage of scripture where Jesus is confronted with a family issue and he's got to do some on-the-spot family counseling, all right? Let's look at Luke chapter 12. We're going to see Jesus do some right on-the-spot family counseling with a couple of brothers here in Luke 12. It says in verse 13, it says, someone in the crowd said to him, teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. Jesus replied, man, who appointed me a judge or arbiter between you? Then he said to them, watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions. And he told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. He thought to himself, what shall I do? I have no place to store my crops. Then he said, this is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And there I will store my surplus grain. And I'll say to myself, you have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, you fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves, but is not rich toward God. Amen. This is a pretty intense parable. We don't even have time to get into all of the richness of what's in there. But this parable of Jesus is a story within a story. You've got two layers. You've got these brothers that come to Jesus, and then you've got this rich fool is what Jesus talks to him about. And in the first layer, we've got a man who comes to Jesus with a problem. And his problem is this, that he and his brother are in a fight. They're fighting. That's pretty common, right? Brothers fighting. Anybody who's got boys in here, they're like, man, tell me about it. I know what that's like. But these brothers are fighting over the inheritance, over their money, over what was being left to them. And for whatever reason, their father didn't leave a will, and he didn't specifically enumerate who was going to get who. And now they're fighting over how to divide the money. Now, most likely it was the younger son who came to Jesus, because the older son had the right to everything. So the younger son is saying, tell him to give me what I want. But I love Jesus' reaction here. You know, Jesus doesn't even call the guy by name. He just addresses him as man, all right? He says, man, who appointed me as judge or arbiter between you? Jesus says, basically, I'm not going to divide you and your brother. He's not going to divide them. Unfortunately, all this guy cared about was getting the money that he felt he deserved. And so he came to Jesus thinking Jesus is going to help divide this money. But he didn't stop to think. He didn't think about what was actually happening in his relationship. He didn't think, wow, you know, this issue, this inheritance thing, this is causing my brother and I to kind of, you know, bump heads a little bit. This is causing a rift in our relationship. This is causing a real problem in my relationship with my brother. Jesus, can you help us work out our relationship? Because this inheritance issue is making us separate. But instead, he said, Jesus, tell him to divide the inheritance with me. In fighting over dividing the money, these brothers themselves were being divided. And it was separating them. It's crazy, right? In fact, probably the division had already taken place by the fact that he came to Jesus asking this question and not asking for help in their relationship. And so in the youth and family ministry, our vision is families united in Christ rather than being divided. Because Satan divides, but Jesus unites. Jesus unites us. What I love about Jesus is that he wants to unite all people in him. And he refuses to divide them further. He refused to divide the inheritance because he saw that it was dividing them. One of the big reasons I love the youth and family ministry is because it's powerful when we see families united in Christ. Right? Satan divides us with sin and with issues and with problems. But through the blood of Jesus, we can be united. You know, this school year so far, we've seen a lot of teens decide to make Jesus Lord of their life. And it's been incredible, not just because of the teens, but because of their families, because of the years of prayer that it represents. Seeing Susie Nussbaum be baptized, what an incredible moment for the Nussbaum family. Seeing Becca Hofstetter getting baptized. We saw Pajel Lekadu baptized into Christ. We saw David Torres become a Christian. And shortly thereafter, we saw Omar Benavente become a Christian. We saw Abby Jones. That was a miracle from God. And the family relationship that we share is incredible. We saw Blair Murdoch become a Christian. And we saw Kiana Murray. And again, the family connections between the Murrays and between the Murdochs. You know, it's so encouraging to see these things happen, the unity in families because of Jesus. And it was also encouraging, I know Larry shared earlier about some baptisms, it was encouraging this past Wednesday night to see Juliet Reyes baptized into Christ. And right now we're going to show a video of Juliet's baptism to, again, show you the vision of our youth coming to Jesus. Amen. That was awesome. Give it up for Juliet. You can stand on up, Juliet. And what an incredible moment for Joe to baptize his daughter. And that what a special thing. And to see the joy that a family has when they're brought closer by the blood of Jesus. That's what Jesus does. He does not come to divide. He came to unify us. You know, our sins have separated us from God. And through the cross, Jesus has redeemed us and bought us back. He gave his life to unite us. Dividing is the last thing that he wants to do. He died to unite us to God. He doesn't want to divide people, and especially over something as trivial as money. You know, it was separating these brothers. You know, here's what's even crazier. Jesus wants to unite us. What's crazy is that Jesus is able, through the cross, to unite those who are not family by their blood and to make us family by his blood. That's what's even more incredible is we, in this room, we are a big family. Amen? You know, in John 19, 26 through 27, you can just write it down, but while on the cross, Jesus unites his mother with John. He makes people who are not family, family because of the cross. In the church, because of Jesus, we get to be family. That's why, I know Rob mentioned it, but isn't that why we love International Sunday? Seeing that among the nations that we can all be family, no matter what color we are, shape or size, that we are brothers and sisters because of Jesus. Amen? Yeah. Now, I love in this story, we don't have time to get to it, but again, just God's, what he says to this man who he wanted to use his stuff just for himself, this person in this parable. And Jesus makes it clear in this parable that people are more important than possessions. People are more important than possessions. And that's why I'm excited on June 5th, we're able to give to special contribution that will help unite people in Christ. That will help unite people to Christ, unite people to us with them in Christ, and ultimately to bring people into God's family. Now today, again, we get to see right here this vision firsthand as we see, we're going to call it the Serrano family, as Elijah Serrano has chosen to make Jesus Lord of his life. And right now, we're going to show a video. As we come up on stage, we're going to show a video of Elijah, and then if we can have the teens come up on a stage, and we'll have a baptism. Amen. People are coming up and getting situated. So we're going to go ahead right now and have we're excited because we're going to see Elijah Serrano make Jesus Lord of his life. And so right now we're going to have a brief time to get to share, and I'd like to share a couple thoughts real quick. Elijah, I'm so proud of you. It's been a joy studying the Bible with you, to see your eagerness, to see how you've changed. I was at the Serrano household one time, and Elijah didn't want to give me the time of day, and he didn't want to talk to me, and this was, you know, months and months and months ago. And now recently he'll hug me and pick me up, you know, and again, just the change that I'm seeing in him and the joy in his heart. But I want to share a scripture with you. And this is in Romans chapter 5. It says in verse 6, "You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates or proves his love for you in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." And I want to remind you that Jesus loves you that much. It wasn't at your best, but it's just your worst that Jesus has died for you. I love you a lot, and I'm excited to see what God's going to do through you. Right now I'm going to have Tom Hughes share.
This is pretty amazing, because it wasn't that long ago you were in a pretty dark place, not really wanting anything to do with God or the church or anything. And the way that you've changed, the distance you've come, and how quickly it's happened is just a testimony to God's power. And I want you to know I love you, and I'm very proud of you.
Love you too, Tom. Good try on me, man. Good try.
David Torres is going to share.
Hey, man, this is such a big day. Like, I've known you for 13 years. Like, that's like most of our lives. But this is such a great thing to see you getting baptized just a couple of short months after me. And it's so wonderful to know that I'll see you in heaven as my brother.
Struggles, and you were so, like, and it's just amazing just to see how you are now, that you're happy, and that, you know, like, oh my God. You encourage me and inspire me in so many ways, and I'm so happy for you, and I love you, and I'm done.
Dear son, Elijah Isaiah Serrano, I want to share a scripture with you. It's in Psalms 103, verses 18 through 18. And this is not just for now, son. This is for you as you begin your relationship with God. This is for you when you become a mighty man of God. This is for you when you lead your family. This is for your children. The Lord is compassionate and merciful, slow to get angry and filled with unfailing love. He will not consistently accuse us, nor remain angry forever. He does not punish us for all of our sins. He does not deal harshly with us, as we observe, for his unfailing love toward those who fear him is as great as the height of the heavens above the earth. He has removed our sins as far as the east is from the west. The Lord is like a father to his children, tender and compassionate to those who fear him. For he knows how weak we are. He remembers we are only dust. Our days on earth are like grass, like wildflowers. We bloom and die. The wind blows, and we are gone, as though we have never been here. But the love of the Lord remains forever with those who fear him. His salvation extends to the children's children, of those who are faithful to his covenant, of those who obey his commandments. Son, I'm so proud of you today. I'm so proud of you making this decision. I know you've been jumping out of your skin, son, and so have we. I want to take a few minutes because I want you to take a look. Whenever I fall short, your sister falls short, you have brothers and sisters out there, right? These are people that have been praying for you since you were right here. When I got baptized almost 18, 19 years ago now, you were here. And now you're out here making this decision on your own. Son, these are the people that have prayed with you. It takes a village. It takes a whole church. It takes all of us, son. Remember that. You are love. I can't wait to see how God is going to continue to shine your light. I can't wait to see how you're going to encourage and uplift all of us. We are behind you, son. We love you, and keep shining for God.
How you doing, man?
Eliza, I have two questions for you. Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that he died for your sins, was buried, and rose again on the third day?
Yes.
And what is your good confession?
Jesus is Lord.
Amen. Because of your good confession, I can now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You will receive the forgiveness of your sins, and you will be added to God's kingdom. Amen.